Blog Talk All right. Radio.
All right, just give me a second. I don't know what is going on with this, why this is choosing today to not want to just connect immediately. Okay. Now I'm in. All right, we're getting ready to start here in just a moment. For my Blog Talk listeners, we're going to be getting ready to chime on as soon as we can get some technical things happening. Oh, of course. Gotta love technology because when it works well. Okay. I think it might go. It might pop on the screen. I'm not sure if it wants to today. Doesn't appear to want to do it. Okay. Doesn't appear to want to get on here, guys. I'm not really sure why. Doesn't want to go up. I'm not really sure why today.
Yeah. If you touch your keyboard.
Uh-huh. I did. I don't know why. Well, never not a plan B. Go to project. I don't know. On duplicate, it's not going. Let's try extend. Nope, don't want to go. Just doesn't want to go today. And this is the one time I did not necessarily bring my other option with me. Because this has been working, but it's not doing it today. It just won't catch. So we may have to go without it because I can't fool with it right now, and I don't know why it's not wanting to do that. So thank you, Blog Talk listeners, for being patient with me right now as we try to figure out why the screen is not working. HDMI. So not sure why it's not. Oh, what is this Marie? Yes, so I'm not sure, and it's plugged into the right port back there. It's not picking up, so I'm not sure. The last time it didn't pick up like this, it was because it was plugged into the wrong display port back there on the projector. But, yeah, I figured, I mean, you do this every week, so I'm not really sure why it would, like, if there's nothing connected to it right now. And so we are 3-4 minutes in, and we need to be doing showtime here. And it just doesn't want to show up today. He's checking to make sure that it's doing the deal. And if not, this is what we're going to see behind us. We're just going to go with it. Exactly. We're in a display port? Okay. Well, I'm not sure what's going on with the technology, but why don't you just go ahead and shut it down for today. I'll just run off of here myself because for whatever reason, it doesn't want to go up. It doesn't want to connect. So I'll just have to make sure that I always bring plan B with me, which is not this. Yep, go ahead and turn it off. So you guys won't be able to see a presentation today, but we're going to, nonetheless, you're still going to get a show. So, praise the Lord. The show must go on. Yes, you guys excited about being in the house still? Yes, audience is all the way live and active. ready to do what God has brought us together to do today. All right, and Miss Carol's in the house. Yeah. All right. We're going to get ready to just do it. Okay. All right. We're getting ready to go live in here. Yes. Come on closer, audience. Come closer, come closer, come closer. We need you on the camera. All right, welcome, welcome to Wednesday Warriors. We are in the house, and we are excited to have you with us to praise the Lord for this section of Wednesday Warriors, where we are discussing Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum, praise the Lord, written by the one and only Dr. Paula A. Price. Yes, 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 yes. So we're excited. All right, and so we're going to get started. We're going to take some audio off of this here for me. Thank you very much. All right, so we're excited to have you all in the house, and we're going to continue on our journey together, and I need that all the way down if that's okay. We're going to be on our journey together, and we're going to continue on chapter 6. Ultimately, we will get out of chapter 6. We've been going and going and going and going, praise the Lord. And so we need to get out of chapter 6 ultimately. But the problem is Dr. Price keeps dropping all of these bombs. You know, it'd be one thing if she just said a statement and just left it. No, no. She's going to drop things that we have not heard before, we've not thought about before. What I love about her is that she finds revelation in the nuances. How many of y'all can say in the nuances? It's in the little things that you can find some powerful understanding about God. God's attention to detail gives you a lot of secrets about who he is. His attention to detail gives you a lot of information about who he is. Yes? All right. Because those are the things that we want to skip over in our effort to keep God simple, right? To keep them not so complicated. But today we're going to get into some of the details about who God is, who he says he is, and how he functions, yes? So we're waiting for some of our Wednesday warriors to get on. We're inviting you now to come on and join us while we're doing this edition of Before the Garden. Get your book out. Get your coffee out. Go ahead and hashtag a few people, Wednesday warriors. Share it with a few friends. We want them on with us tonight as we're taking this journey to before time began, understanding our Christian heritage, understanding who we are in Christ, and understanding who God is to us. Amen? Because we're all overly concerned about who we are to him. I'm his child. I'm saved. I'm blessed and highly favored. It's all about who, okay, we are to God. But who is God to you? Isn't that a quality question that we should think about? Who is God to you? You know, and sometimes we only want to deal with one little piece and aspect at a time, don't we? Who is God to me? He my Savior. He my Lord. Right? He's my Redeemer. He's my Keeper. But in this season, God's looking for those that want to deal with him in fullness, in the fullness of who he is. Isn't it annoying when you have friends in your life who only want to deal with you for one reason? They only come around for one thing. Okay, when they need something, when they want something, because they know you happen to be good at something. But you have very few people in your life that you feel like really do enjoy you for you. Isn't it true? God is looking for that. When he talks about that companionship, God is looking for people that will enjoy him for him. I'm going to enjoy you for just being you. The totality of who you are. You know you're advancing in your Christian walk. You know you're advancing in your maturity when God has more and more flexibility to be himself and not always have to pull his punches and hide his strength and, okay, not be able to reveal certain things out of, you know, come on here. That's why God said you can get to heaven on a grain. If you only have a grain of knowledge about God and believe in that grain with all of your heart, you can get to heaven. He distilled himself down to a grain. Oh, come on. We didn't think about it, did we? Oh, come on, my Wednesday warriors, get on the line with us. Come on with us. All right, join us tonight. Because when it comes down to it, God has to distill himself down. He has to give himself to us in increments. Or as Isaiah says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Because he's an awesome God. He's a terrible God. He's a fearsome God. He's all of these amazing things that he can't show us because we're not ready. When we talk about falling short, see, did anybody ever ask this question? How far was the fall? Did anybody ever ask, how far did we fall? Because they said we fell from grace. We fell short of the glory. How far did we fall? Because we're measuring a lot of our intelligence, we're measuring a lot of our conclusions about earth and life and God and right and wrong based on a fallen state. If America comes into a fallen state from where it is today, how will we then measure our foundations of freedom? How will we measure our rights? If your country is in a fallen state, when they say Olympus has fallen, what are we talking about? And how can you measure where people are, the stability, the foundation, the right, the wrong, the axis of something, of a nation after it has fallen? How do you measure the quality of the government? The quality of the people, the quality of what they do, the quality of the citizenship, the quality of the privileges, the quality. Okay, come on, if America fell, will we enjoy the same privileges in a fallen America that we enjoy as a superpower? Oh, come on, think about that. Because see, Anna was in the superpower of humanity while it was on earth. Not the best, but definitely the super. I often hear people say all the time they want us to go back to Eden. Who wants to go back to Eden? Raise your hand if you want to go back to y'all ain't these people in here too intelligent. I don't know. Periscope, can I have this conversation with you? They've been under Dr. Price too long. But I often see people say we want to go back to Eden. And my question is why? Why? What about Eden do we want to live in forever? If we go back to the true story of Eden, all right, let's go back to the true story. Because, see, we go back to that glorified version where we just skip over some details. Remember, maybe we talked about the details. Come on, Periscope, say details. Come on. We talked about the revelation is in details. Okay, sermon is the cliff notes. A lot of our slogans in Christianity are the cliff notes. But you get the details, okay, when you go into the scripture and get into the nuances of what God said. Not anything God says is devoid of power. The smallest statement is replete with implications of God's power. And we're gonna talk a lot about that tonight. So let's go back to Eden as it was. Somebody recount the story of the garden in Eden as you know it. Let's just talk about the details we do know, okay? We know there was a man. We know there was a woman. We know there was a garden. What else was happening in Eden? They were working. It was a snake in the garden. All right, a serpent in the garden. What else was in that garden? Some trees. God. Fruit. Animals. Knowledge. What'd you say, mama? You know, when you see, this is why you need church mothers, because they just shout out, and then they shout out the truth to let everybody know. She said unbelief was in the garden. Ignorance was in the garden. Naivety was in the garden. Darkness was in the garden. Evil was in, good and evil were both in the garden. So why do we want to go back there? Why not move onward to Revelation 22 when we're at the end of all things? We're at the restitution where the sin that broke out in heaven is no more. See, but because we thought that sin started on earth, we thought that God started with the planet earth, we thought that God's first rodeo was with Adam and Eve, we want to go back there to pre-earth crisis. See, Eden was pre-earth crisis. Heaven had
justice. But Eden is it affecting us. So we want to go back to an unaffected state and not a perfect state. To see what Jesus Christ is bringing us as the last Adam is a perfect state of creation. The original design that was never tampered with, that never tasted darkness, that never saw death, that never had to deal with corruption. See, he's trying to take us back to a perfect state, and we keep wanting to pursue an unaffected state. Before sin took effect on us. Before it became our problem. And God wants to take you back to the day before it was anybody's problem. And this time he wants to give you something that wasn't in the Garden of Eden, and that's the knowledge of both good and evil. And then he wants to take you back to a place where now you have dominion over it. See, Adam didn't have dominion over evil, which is why he couldn't subdue. Oh, wait. Nobody heard that? Nobody caught that? Come on, my Wednesday warriors, calling all the Wednesday warriors. Did y'all catch that? Because, see, you got a war for revelation. There's so much false coming out there against Jesus Christ, everything. You talk about the father of lies. We talking about speaking from his own resources. We talking about perverting and mimicking everything God does. You have to fight for revelation of truth. It's a war. That's why we Wednesday warriors, because we got to war through the darkness. We got to war through the veil of our flesh. We have to war through iniquity. We have to war through a lot of things so we can get to the light and life and truth about Jesus Christ. So let's go back there. Why couldn't Adam subdue the earth? Because something was in the earth he'd never known before, and that was evil. We know on the seventh day he rested with God, did he not? He rested with God on that seventh day. So he knew goodness, he knew glory, he knew light. But there was something in that garden he never encountered before. And only got one command, leave him alone. That was it. Don't touch that. God did not sit down and give Adam a world-class education in darkness. He just gave him a command. Come on. What does that say about our state? That we weren't the perfected. Why? Where even though Adam was full grown, he wasn't perfected. Why? Because God could not give him a full understanding of the truth about his world. When your kids come into the world, you can't give them a whole education on everything that's going to hurt them in the world at once, can you? First of all, their brains are like, we're trying to form so we can just make sound. So we can get a vocal box, we can get a larynx growing here, we can get lung power that can help, okay? The body is focusing on development, not intelligence. So God is like, Adam is like a child. Not physically, but when it comes to the things of the world, of his creation, and he knew it. And the other reason, a more sage reason, and shrewd reason why God wouldn't trust Adam, the first one, with all that information is because of why? He knew he would fall. He said, I'm not going to give you all of our trade secrets. The company what? The company secrets, creator secrets, for you to go ahead and give them to my enemy. There's certain things you deliberately don't tell your children when you recognize they can't be responsible for that information. When they act irresponsibly with that information, you do not share it. You wait for them to get older. You wait for them to come of age. Do you not? You cannot give your kids that kind of stuff. And you know, Jesus is still abiding by that today. We all happy that we got slogans. Do you realize that the only reason you have a slogan is because you cannot be trusted with higher knowledge and information at this present time? Somebody said once, or Dr. Price, I believe, said once that certain things are just above our faith grade. We do not believe in God enough to that degree. Trust his character enough to that degree to be entrusted with certain levels of revelation and insight about him. There's a reason why he had to sprawl himself out over a millennia after millennia for us to just get the scriptures we have today. He had to throw himself out, sprinkle himself out, because God recognizes certain information we can't be trusted with right away. People think you don't understand the scripture because it's just hard. No, know. We don't know the scripture because God is keeping lock and key on what he wants us to know and not know. He said, seeing as though they do not see, hearing as though they do not hear. He was the first person to use encryption. And what kind of encryption? His coding wasn't in some device. He coded this right here. He coded your mind. We saw him do it at Babel. All of a sudden, we speak in the same language. The next thing you know, everybody's brain has been recoded to something else. He's been dead. See, you can't. That's what. See, this is the parts of God that just make you want to go at creation, because you can't get this man coming or going. You just cannot get him. We try to get him, don't we? We cannot get this man. We try to take him out, but we can't get him. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher. The author. See, he authored this mind. He authored that brain you're using. I authored that, though. So I know all the thoughts it can possibly conceive. Wow. Oh, okay. There's no need of you being alpha if you can't control. Come on here. There's no need. There's no need. So we don't want to go back to Eden where God was just getting started. We want to go to eternity where he's finished. When he's reconciled heaven and earth. When Jesus now has the preeminence. The last Adam has the preeminence. Oh, come on here. When we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're not wrestling with principalities and powers. When we're not dealing with a host of wickedness in heavenly places. Oh, come on. Because see, in Eden, the host of wickedness was bound in a tree until Adam gave him freedom. As Dr. Price said, let him out of this prison. He would have had to stay in that tree. If Adam and Eve never got curious about what it was, sin would have not only not left a crimson stain, it wouldn't have been our problem. It wouldn't have been our problem. And then God could have gone on the process of educating us and developing us himself according to his word and his spirit, the way he did after the last Adam. What did he end up doing? He sent us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth, bring us into the whole understanding of creation. The fact that you believe in God, have the ability to believe in God right now, is because God wants you to and gave you an equipment to do so in the Holy Spirit. Now, Adam had the Holy Spirit rest on him for moments or so. Because God was like, no, we can't put it in because we're not sure where you're going. God had to test some loyalties. Yeah. Oh, come on here. Because he said, I can't lose all of creation because their spirits are corrupt. Now, we're going to get to a section in this book where Dr. Price talks about that, how our souls fell in Adam and our spirits stayed in Christ. Now, if that's your first time hearing that statement, have no fear. There is an explanation for a biblical one, not an imaginary experience. You know, Dr. Price didn't die, have some out-of-body experience, get visited by an angel, and come back with information that we can't find anywhere on earth. That is not how Before the Garden was written or addressed. She is going through and helping us understand the things that Jesus Christ said himself, either through the spirit of his prophets as Yahweh, or himself in the flesh, or the spirit of his apostles after he left. We're tracing knowledge that he gave us, that he entrusted with us to know who he is. We're unlocking and decoding the mystery that he gave us, that he spoke himself, and he spoke in parables on purpose. He did not, you know, just elect to do that to be creative. Jesus had to speak in parables because he had an enemy. He kept his language encrypted, not because he was worried about us figuring out or not figuring out, but he has an enemy who was constantly trying to pervert everything he did. If he tried to upstage him in Eden by taking out Eve because he knew that a seed of a woman was going to steal his authority, then why would he not try to steal the rest of Jesus' plan? The real plan of what Jesus is going to do, okay, was going to do while he was here and is going to do after he leaves, is hidden in them parables. He walked around healing the sick and how you doing? Like a good ambassador. How you doing? Have some bread. Have some fish. Yes. Okay. Yep. I'll kiss the baby and heal him while I'm gone. All right. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. Save some people in the water. Come on here. All right. when he gave his speeches, he told the truth about what was going on, what his kingdom was about, and what he was facing in those parables. Y'all with me? The truth about who he is in that. Because in the parables is his kingship. Because remember, he had to lay aside his divine privilege so he couldn't be acting like that. He couldn't be acting out. Okay? Because my assignment is to teach my new offspring how to behave as offspring in the flesh. Because they're not going back to my seat of kingship. And there ultimately will be divine rulers who need to learn and be educated. Y'all recognize you can't just run up on government. You can't just run up and be a monarch and run up and be the monarch's children. We had to learn that. Y'all all right? We had to learn that. So a lot of that truth is hidden in there if we go into the nuances of scripture, which is what we're going to do tonight. We'll have fun. Yes? Yes? My warrior's in place. We're going to have fun. So we're going to jump into those things tonight because it's important that we know who God is. And we're not going to go back to Eden. We are right now learning how to go into eternity and take our first estate as kings and priests. Okay? Because that's what we're a nation of. Our national ethnicity, or I should say positions, are kings and priests. That's the type of citizens we are. We're a divine ethnicity. Yes? We're a divine ethnicity and a citizenry of kings and priests. That is the nation, the complexion of the nation of Jesus Christ. That's why we're being fought in this world. Because we're supposed to be rulers. See, Adam set the stage. God was letting us know, but y'all supposed to be rulers. But then we abdicated our authority and gave our rulership to someone else. And we're still abdicating our authority and giving our rulership to someone else. Every time we bow to this culture, every time we bow to the pressure, every time we tell ourselves we ain't perfect, every time we tell ourselves we ain't never going to get it right, every time we talk about we just need to skid on our face in mercy, come on here. We're abdicating our authority. Because you can be two types of Christian, one that is subjected and one that has dominion. And a lot of us want to live as subjected Christians. Subjected to the laws of this world, subjected to the imperfections of our flesh. Paul said he beat himself into subjection every day. Why? Because it was about the torment, because he was trying to be religious, because he was trying to be legalistic. No, because he knew dominion was his right. That he said, all things are ours. He said, I will give myself to the power of nothing. I will come under the power of nothing. Why? Because this earth is beneath me. Because of where I sit. Because of my position in Jesus Christ. Because of what his blood elevated me to. I will come under the power and the authority of nothing in this world. Because I am no longer fallen. I am now seated above where I was beneath. I am now on top where they had a right to take control over me. I now can sit in a place and enact a judgment on this thing because you are my subject. You are my servant. And Dr. Price told us years ago, Satan is your servant. Sin, it needs to be a servant to you. You need to have the attitude of a centurion because I too, like Jesus Christ, I am a man under authority. When I say come, it comes. When I say go, it goes. Why did he say these signs shall follow all those who believe? Because when you say come, it better come. And when you say go, it better go. Why do you have binding, loosing, and a power and authority? Not to live in your imperfection. I don't care what. I'm going to say it until the Lord's return. We will not live under the gospel of the fallen man. We're not going back to Eden. Stop going back to Eden. Eden was our failure. Calvary is our victory. Eternity is our destiny. I want you to never forget it. Eternity is our destiny. Your destiny is not Eden. Your destiny is to go back to the place you came from. Jesus said it himself, I am from above and not beneath. You have to decide as a Christian, are you going to live like one that is from above, or are you going to live like one that is from beneath? What kind of Christian are you going to be today? What kind of life are you going to lead in Jesus Christ? You have options. You can do what the first Adam did and continue to subject your authority to the serpent. You fallen. We sinners saved by grace. We can't make it happen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Help me. That's a BC doctrine being promoted by a BC devil who never wants you to forget that you fell, who never wants you to forget the decision you made that put him in power, who never wants you to forget how he got his control. I may have been downgraded to an influencer, but an influence is a mighty thing on an ignorant people. That is something we can't ever forget. I can't hardly listen to the radio because I said, God, I'm overwhelmed with this BC doctrine. When are we going to start teaching people how to use their authority, use their power, take their dominion, focus in on that? Are you going to get it right coming out the gate? No, but we ain't getting it right now. At least be trying to get it right for righteousness' sake. Not trying to get it right to prove that you can stay a sinner and slide on grace into heaven. Come on in here. It's all about how we're using our power to stay the same and then manipulate God into accepting it. Come on here. We don't have to do that. Somebody can make us want it, make us want to be the best. I remember Dr. Bryce slapped me so hard in my face with a word when he said he made her mouth like a sharp sword. Sharp the boat. I can see, okay? Her and Jesus got a few things in common. All right? I'm sitting there talking about how I'm doing the best I can and blah, 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 blah. Well, at least I'm not, and whatever the case may be, I was, I don't know. At least I was on my at least I'm not campaign, okay, at the moment. Okay? Well, at least I don't fornicator. At least I don't drink. You know, I don't know. I was saying all manner of things to, you know, just kind of really support or substantiate why I didn't want to change in another area of my life. And she said, how come you're not comparing yourself to the greatest in God's kingdom? How come you're not comparing yourself to the angels, the right angels, the ones who didn't forsake their first estate, the people who didn't fall? He said, why are you trying to be like this? Why are you saying you always compare yourself to the least there is and to the trash that's in the universe? Come on here. Yeah, anybody who knows Dr. Paula Ann, I was Dr. Price, but it did challenge my thinking. That was a 1-2 punch straight up in the nostrils. I said, we are always comparing ourselves to the least of these and not the greatest of these. We have a lot of great men in scripture who resisted, I mean, to bloodshed, striving for the righteousness and gospel of Jesus Christ. We never want to say, hey, I'm going to do it like Paul. Hey, I'm going to do it like David. Yeah, I'm about to do it like Daniel. Yeah, I'm about to do it like Peter. I'm about to hold it down like, come on here, like Jeremiah. I'm about to do it like Elijah. Come on here. We always talk about, well, at least I don't, you know, at least I don't be cussing no more. And if you are a starter Christian, I am very proud of your fact that you're not cussing. Okay? Because our starter Christians do need this time. You need some, we got to give you some lead room on this. Because we recognize that what we're asking you to do is not natural, which is why you need a supernatural spirit to continue to perfect you day by day. As Paul says, your outward man may be perishing. Yes, your outward man is falling apart. Your flesh is collapsing. Your flesh is coming under. But let me tell you something. Your inward man is being renewed day by day. It's changing you into greater. Say, I'm being changed into greater. Now, I want you to say it like you believe it. I'm being changed into greater. You're not going back to the last thing. You're not going back to Adam. That was a failed work, and we failed at it. You're going forward to Jesus Christ. Because why? He was the greater. He was the greater. He was the greater. I want you to put that on your mirror in your bathroom. Remind yourself when you are going through trial, everything, I'm being changed into the greater. That's why the trials are coming to kick my butt, because they're kicking out everything that's taking away from my greatness, everything that's robbing me from being the best version of Jesus Christ I can be. This thing is weeding out, and it's siphoning off anything that's trying to take me back down to before Christ's victory. Anything that's robbing me of my eternal inheritance, that is what's being fought. That's why I'm in trials and tribulation. That's why the enemy has come. But next time he comes, he ain't going to find that in me. He may find a few other things I still got to get rid of, but you ain't going to find that in me. Because I'm being changed for the greater. I'm being changed for the greater. I'm being changed for the greater. you know what's going through. Come on here. God's got to find a way to get you to no longer like the things of this world for you to see it the way he does. We're too in love with the things of our flesh because it's close to us. This is the only world we know. But you're being changed for a greater world. They put the book of Revelation in there for a purpose to give us hope, to know what the end of this thing might be, that you can set your faith on things above, that you can set your faith on God's promises, that you know what the latter that will truly be greater. Because we act like our existence ends here. No, your latter part of your existence is going to be greater. Oh, okay. I don't know. Minister Norman, did you understand? The latter part of your existence is going to be greater. Oh, come on here. Because you're being changed for the greater. You're not being changed. See, God's not trying to equip you to live better just here on earth. Come on here. Because earth fell away. It fell a mighty long way. Which is why God is underwhelmed with the planet and not impressed even with our greatest accomplishments. Because why? They're living in the greater. Because they didn't fall. But heaven didn't fall. It got rid of its problem. It got rid of its dead weight. But it didn't fall. It didn't fall, which is why it can send a Savior to bring us back up. Oh, come on. I don't know. Did you understand it, DJ? You got that? Change for the greater. Stop preaching that fallen gospel. Well, you know, none of us are going to be perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. Okay. God knew you were going to make mistakes. That's why he gave you a Holy Ghost. He gave you grace. Come on here. He gave you power. He told you to tread upon scorpions and serpents and all of these things. You know, he gave us the ability to tread upon that serpent that took us out. Did anybody recognize that? The same serpent. He said, tread upon serpents. Why? Because a serpent took down creation. Come on here. But you're here to restore it. Come on. What is Romans 8 talking about? My children are here to restore it. Oh, okay. New heaven, new earth. Where is it coming from? How is it happening? Oh, come on here. We are part of the renovation team. I don't know. Prophet Dia, is it happening? We are a part of the renovation team. We are here to renovate, reclaim, recover, and recapture what the first Adam just so sold away. And restore it not to the state it was in when God said, let there be the first time, but to restore it into a state that is greater. So what comes bound down out of heaven is greater than what we're leaving behind. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Is that making sense to anybody? Come on here. Because see, when you don't know what God is going after, you'll jeopardize everything. You'll be the prodigal son who jeopardized his inheritance for the moment because you don't know what the tomorrow really holds. Yes? And although he'll bring you back in, that prodigal didn't get a second inheritance. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say, and here's all of the money you blew because we so forgive you that we're going to give you all of your money back. No, no, just be happy to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, okay? Because you back in. Celebrate it, threw you a party and everything. But the elder brother will keep the responsibilities for the inheritance, okay? And he'll distribute to you as he sees fit. As he sees fit. Yabasata. Anybody see some parallels to Jesus Christ? Because Adam shot off the gate, blew his whole entire inheritance. Jesus Christ comes and has to be throwing his big old party because they're coming back home because they're going to repent and want to serve you. And I got to die for this thing, too. Come on here. But he says, but you own everything I have. Come on here. But you own everything I have. Told Jesus Christ, but you own everything I have. And now he's going to be distributing it according to how he sees fit. Why? Because he was the last Adam. He never left God. All right. I don't know. Mr. Lane, am I doing all right? All right. And she said, I'm doing all right. She said, I'm doing all right. Because I want us to be Christians who fight for the totality of who we have the right to be. You have to more than that. And we need to start living in the totalities of our rights. You have a right to holiness, to be. You know, holiness means that you're impervious to sin. Come on, when Dr. Price laid it down, I had to fall out. When I said, oh, we're not talking about skirts and stuff. No, he's talking about being impervious to sin. Meaning that the stronghold of sin, those fears that grip you at night, the sickness that's taking over your body, come on, you're impervious to that. See, we don't want to pursue holiness because we think it's legalistic. No, it's dominion. It means the absence of all the things that have tried to take you out. It means the absence of weakness and vulnerability. You're no longer vulnerable. You're no longer weaker. You're no longer susceptible. You're no longer subject. That's what holiness is talking about. And did you notice that once that holiness is completed in you, then you can stand in the face of God? Because he's so without sin, he'll take you out right now. You're too weak. Holiness is becoming as he is. God is formidable. He's indomitable. There is nothing that can take him out. And he says, be as I am, be ye holy, impervious to anything, like I am impervious to anything. Nothing can touch me. And he wants you to get to the place that nothing can touch you. Not one thing. Jesus Christ, holy. What did he say? The prince of this world is coming, but he will find nothing in me. Holiness. The prince of this world is coming. What will he find in you? Holiness. The prince of this world is coming. Because we told you that holiness was just, you know, come on, trying to be clean and pure. You need to. Why? Because if you're not clean and pure, that means something can be found in you. Still. That the prince of this world still owns a measure of your soul and can collect on something that's rightfully his, that he won when Adam sold us out. See? We often wonder why God doesn't always intervene on every little thing that we do to ourselves sometimes, or that our lack of desire to want to change does to us. So when the prince comes and he finds something in you, Jesus is like, what did he tell Peter? Satan has desired you. You notice that he didn't say, I'm going to bind him. No, he said, I'm going to pray for you. He did not bind the devil that was coming after Peter. He said he was going to pray. Why? Because he's honoring the system that was set at the foundation. Adam already sold you to that. And every work, every corresponding behavior and work, he has authority over. The works of the flesh are Satan's dominion. He was given that authority in Adam. He wants that. So when the prince of the world comes for you, he has a right to what's in you that he won in the garden. So I have a right to that. I don't know why I always be going through these trials and tribulations. Where's the Lord? God, how come you ain't? How come? Mm-mm. See, but the prince has something in you. See, the accuser of the brethren, he's coming to let me know, but I still own that. You see how they can't help but do that? See, there's certain things you just can't preach away. You can't preach that away. All right? You can't sow that away. I'm going to just sow an offering at a time. No. God says some devils, you got prayer and fasting. You got to turn down your plate and sacrifice and starve yourself, deprive yourself to get a breakthrough, to show your flesh and the God of your flesh no authority here. No authority here. Oh, come on here. There's sometimes you got to do things just so that. Come on. Is it true? You got to do certain things just so that you let the God of the flesh know no authority here. Which is why Paul kept saying you got to do this thing in the spirit. Why prayer and fasting in the spirit? Why prayer and fasting in the spirit? The higher law that supersedes his law. Because he only won the right of the natural world. He don't run the supernatural. Okay. Okay, I don't know. Did you get that? He only runs the natural. See, he got the rights here. Adam gave him control over this here. What shows up in this here? That's why when Jesus came and said, but now all authority has been given to me over heaven and earth, and I now have authority over what? All flesh. because he already had authority in the spirit. Now, come on, they kicked him out. Remember, they told him where to go? I saw Satan fall like lightning. So they already had the authority in the spirit. And now I have power over all flesh. I need power in the seeing world, in the physical world. Yes. See, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. All right. We're going to talk about that spirit versus flesh thing. Y'all with me? Who can hang with me for spirit versus flesh? Nuance. I don't know what's happening over here in this side of the... Y'all, okay. All right, Periscope, are you enjoying the Lord? Enjoy the Lord and invite somebody to enjoy the Lord with you, okay? Because come on here, we're about to get into some things. These things are important. You cannot take full advantage of your Christianity and what God did for you if you don't know it. If you don't know it. If all you have is a fortune cookie slip worth of knowledge, come on here. You are not going to be able to take advantage of what God really did for you. That's why Before the Garden is so powerful. And you won't be able to ward off the things that are stealing your inheritance, like they stole Adam because of ignorance. They didn't know that. They didn't know God nor his world. And it wasn't enough for them to know God, but it was their ignorance of God's world that caused their inheritance to be lost. Some of us know God and love God, and I pray every day and I read my Bible, but are ignorant of the world that he really made and the world that he lived in. And the rules and regulations of that world. Is it true? Is that all right to say? Well, we got to know it. So I said tonight we're going to talk about some things that make you go, Huh? Okay, somebody said I've already sent out the radar. All right, I don't know, Facebook, Periscope, did I send out the radar? All right, I already made you say Okay. I tell you what, you can't touch this level of revelation and not go all the way in. You know, Prophet Ashley preached a little word one time that said, you know, I now understand what it means to go behind the veil. We thought going behind the veil meant that you was going to cry and weep and be at Jesus' feet and you know, dancing with the Lord and having these spiritual excursions. No, behind the veil means going into his archives of truth, being in the situation room, figuring out the operations of his hand. So when you go behind the veil, you come back with knowledge and revelation and information, not just a story to tell about an encounter. Wasn't that a word? See? So we left off in Genesis. The screen is not there, so go ahead and open your good old-fashioned Bible. Who is opposed to reading the Bible today? We're going to do something very unusual and go through scriptures. I know that if you read, I've heard that if you read too much Bible in church, you lose the room. Okay. So if I start reading the Bible, will I lose the room? Okay. Because, you know, sometimes it be like that. I'm like, what's happening? You can't do it no more. In fact, I'll just do this. So since this is already set to jump. All right. So we're going to be talking about how did God create the world before he put any living thing on it? How is it that God created the heaven and the earth, heavens and the earth, but there was no living things on the earth? I know. Things that make you go, what, Al? You think about that. All right, this is still from page 100. Okay, did our world begin in Genesis? Here we go. All right, we talked about, we were going line by line through the garden of, before the garden. Well, we were going line by line through the Garden of Eden. This is real. But through the garden. And we were dealing with a phrase that Dr. Price stated on page 100 that says, because human sin and death originated on earth and not in God, where humanity got their start. How did humanity get their start? In God. That's where we left off. We read Genesis 1, 26 through 27. So if you're just joining us, jot these scriptures down because, you know, Dr. Price, and I'm not either because I was well-trained, we're not about you just taking our word for it. Go through those scriptures. Like I said, this is a journey through the scriptures, not a heavenly excursion to come back with something new. As Jesus said, these words are not new. They are of old. They have been there since before time began. So we're just taking you through those things. All right, Genesis 1, 26 through 27, which talks about the creation of man, man being created in God's image on that faithful sixth day. All right? But I'm going to jump forward, okay? We're going to move forward to, I believe, chapter 2, because I didn't put the reference here, but I think it's chapter 2 in Genesis, okay? And thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the herb, of the field rather, was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth. And there was no man to till the ground, but a mist, no man was there on earth either. So there was no field, no herb, no mankind on the earth that was just made. A mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So we asked this the last time, where was the man and the female that was created on the sixth day? And the answer still is in heaven with God. So they were still in God when, okay, the earth was, he rested from his works and said everything was finished. So how can everything be finished? Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain, and there was no man, right? So on the eighth day, okay, which is where we talked about last time, is the biggest controversy. Most people think that Dr. Price is trying to say man was created on the eighth day. No, she says man was formed on the eighth day. He was created in heaven with the Lord on the sixth day. Then God rested and finished creating the heavens and the earth. But that was before there was any plant or field or man on the earth. So how in the world can this man be finished and there's nothing on the earth that's living? We're going to go there today. So on that faithful eighth day, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So mankind did not get life until God breathed on it. And we're going to talk about why that's important. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. This is Genesis 2, chapter 8. Then the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So God is now taking what was made and what was created and putting it on the planet. Anybody catch that? So I want you to do a quick study. If you're watching us on Periscope and you're joining us here in the house, do a quick study on the difference between created. He created male and female on the sixth day, and formed. There's a difference between those two terms. So study those out yourself. We won't take the time. We don't have the time to do it here. So study out the difference between formed and created yourself to understand what God was doing. So if the Genesis account is to be taken at face value, this is page 100 in Before the Garden, a direct quote from Dr. Price. If the Genesis account is to be taken at face value, then it's beginning with the command, let there be light, is significant. Why? God's creative decrees did not start with, let there be earth, but rather, let there be light. The earth, verse 1 says, already existed. So by the time God is recounting this to Moses, earth already existed. Darkness and waters already covered the planet. So what does Genesis actually chronicle then? If we're not talking about God creating earth from scratch, then what is he talking about? What happened in Genesis? What the Genesis account actually pictures is the Lord's renovation of the earth. It narrates his repopulation and replenishing it, not that he started from scratch. So earth is a renovation. It's not a beginning. So how he actually created the earth in substance and consistency, we still don't know. We know how he renovated it. But what he actually made, how he constructed the planet, you see how he keeps hiding the secret of life? He keeps hiding it. It's like his own special commodity. Do you see that too? He just keeps hiding the secret of life. So why did Genesis chapter 1 and 2 seem to repeat each other? Why do they repeat each other? All right, we have just a few seconds left, and we're going to talk about the spiritual world versus the natural world. I'm going to introduce this today because we're down to our last 90 seconds or so on in terms of wrapping up our session for tonight. Then we have a few great announcements for you and some prayer. God created, okay, when we talk about what he said on the seventh day, rolling into the eighth day, how he completed all of his work, he rested from all of his work, and everything, the history of the heavens and earth were documented in heaven, in the spirit, rather. So God makes everything in the spirit first. He gives everything a spiritual body before a natural body. And we're going to talk about how and why when we get back together next week. So the first thing that he showed Moses was what he did in the spirit to revive the earth. Then he showed them how he took those spiritual things and formed them and gave them bodies. How many of y'all are interested in finding out how he gave everything a body? Well, you'll have to tune in next week, okay? So right now, I'm going to switch over to get, I'm not going to go any, I'm going to leave that right there. Just leave that. And then we'll come back together next Wednesday. So my good friend is going to come down, Prophet Adia Peterson, to give you some announcements. Thank you guys for tuning in. But stay right there. We're going to pray before we let you go.
Or you can just visit DrPaulaAPrice.com so that you can get your copy on aprice.com. You can get the e-book version, all right, of the book. If you want to follow along with us, listen, if this is your first time hearing Chief Prophet Paula Price, you are in for a treat tonight, and I want you to take a moment to follow her on Twitter. Follow her on Twitter.com. It's /PricePaula, so it's the last name first. Price Paula on Twitter.com. Follow her today if you are a teacher, and also you can follow her on Facebook, Facebook.com/PaulaPrice. Follow her, show her some love tonight. Let her know how this word impacted you. I'm going to bring Papa Paula back so that she can pray for you and really cover you, so don't move. But I want to remind you one more time how you can sew tonight, all right? You can sew online at PaulaPrice.com. PaulaPrice.com. We appreciate your gifts. And your seat in advance. Don't go anywhere. We want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, God wants to really empower his people in this season. In this season where everything is trying to weaken us in our stance, weaken us in our faith, weaken us as a nation, weaken us as the kingdom of God. It's important now more than ever that you cling to your hope, that you cling to your faith, that you cling to the truth about who we are as believers. Never forget who you are. Never let anything in this world take your identity from you. You're talking about we had a whole, we run a whole movement. Fight, jail people, go to court, body up the nation for their identity. How much more should we fight for who we are in Jesus Christ? It is your privilege. It's not just a blessing. It is your privilege. Now, I'm going to leave you with those words today as you pray. I want to bless some of you today because I know that a lot of us are in this trust and we're in this fight together. And I want you to know that we're in this together. We need to be around the clock interceding for one another. And as Dr. Price even said yesterday, it's not a season to be tearing each other up. God forbid that body is a season to be praying. Because everybody, every chain is a link. Any one of them falls and makes us vulnerable. And this is the season to be strong. Oh, Zion, make all your strength. For the glory of the Lord, come on, everybody, within you. Within you. You who are watching right now, the glory of the Lord is right within you. On Facebook, on Periscope, it's within you. The power to do, to make this change is in you. It's in you now. And I'm standing here as God's mouthpiece to activate that thing and make it come to life. The whole idea of this wicked word is to make that power come to life. And that it flow like rivers of living water that will never cease, that can never die, and that can never be shaken. God, thank you today for these believers that are watching tonight, that are faithfully tuning in and seeking you diligently, God. Now I'm asking that you would reward the speed of reward of that diligence, God, by supplying not only, Father God, blessings and all of those things, but I thank you for the miracles, signs, and wonders of keeping us in our faith, keeping us in our stand, giving us the ability to fight, giving us the ability to overcome, making us conquerors today, God, causing us to rise up in the fullness of who we are, taking on that image of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift, the greatest blessing, God, the greatest reward that we can get is reaching the ultimate destination we have in Jesus Christ, making us the new creation. And God, today, I call up the new creation in every person that's watching it today. I'm asking that, Father God, you stir up everything, the power of the age to come, eternity in the now. We summon, Father God, their help. We summon their hope. We summon their strength. We summon their fortitude. We summon their perseverance, rather. We summon their endurance. And even, Father God, at your most, their ability to fight. I thank you, God, we summon it today. In Jesus' name, God, I release the greater upon them now. We release the greater. We release the greater. Let it pursue and overtake every aspect of their life. I say it now to you, Dr.
Thank you.